To Hebrews chapter 12. Encourage you to follow along on your outline there in the bulletin. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read the first four verses. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, and you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word today, as we consider the race that you have set before us, Lord, I pray that today you would reveal to our hearts the type of runners that you desire us to be. And Lord, I pray that we would see the one that you have sent to run before us, to be our example and our inspiration. And so, Lord, we commit this time of study now to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there are many metaphors that the Bible likens the Christian life to. There's the metaphor of us being soldiers in a battle. There's the metaphor of us being farmers sowing seeds, or boxers in the boxing ring, or students in a school, just to name a few. But one of the most common metaphors, and probably the easiest for us to relate to, is that we are runners in a race. Because almost all of us have done or had some experience in running. In jogging or in racing, we have all done some type of running. Now, personally, I hate running, especially distance runs. I've never liked it at all, and I really have a hard time just understanding how some people do enjoy that. But I did get into it once for a day. It happened after, it was when I was in high school and after I saw the first Rocky movie. And watching Sylvester Stallone, you know, run through the streets of Philadelphia just inspired me. So that next morning, I woke up at 4 a.m. It was still dark outside. I threw on the sweats, put on my tennis shoes, put the little beanie upon my head, and I started out running through my neighborhood. The Rocky theme song in my head, you know, dun-dun-dun, and I was just, you know, I was going for it. I got to the park there by my house and began to run through the park when I heard a pack of dogs. They were coming in my direction. There must have been 10, 15, 30 of them, I don't know, but it got louder, and I turned and I ran as fast as I could home. I came in the door and I went into my room. I took off my shoes. I took off my sweats. I took off the beanie. I got back in bed and my running ended that day. Running. Driving to work last week, coming down Oceanside Boulevard, I saw three runners. The first was a guy in gray gym shorts and a gray t-shirt, and he was wearing regular tennis shoes, and he was running, and you could tell just looking at his face that, man, he didn't want to be there. He was in agony. He was just, you know, in pain. He was hating every single minute of it. I knew what he was thinking. I knew I shouldn't have ate that piece of chocolate cake last night. I should have said no to that eighth piece of pizza. You know, I mean, that was what was going through this guy's head. I could just tell as he was running. And then there was this lady that I came as I drove a little further. And this lady, she was a little overweight, and she was wearing sweats, those plastic kind. I mean, she wanted to sweat, you could tell. And she was kind of doing that walk-run type of thing, where she was, you know, kind of moving her head like this, and her arms were bent, and she was moving her arms, and she was bent. Her legs were bent, and she was moving, doing this, you know, type of thing as she was going. But her pace, I mean, it was a mild walk at best. But I thought, you know, Lord bless her. You know, she's out there. I wanted to drive by and honk and go, go, girl, you know. I mean, I was like, you know, she's going for it. The third guy, though, this guy, he was a runner. I mean, you could tell. He had on, you know, the nylon gym trunks. He had on the tank top, the expensive lightweight running shoes. And he had this bounce in his step as he ran. His whole appearance, the pace, the bounce, it portrayed this attitude of, I live to run. I enjoy running. I'm out here today because, not because I have to be, but because I want to be. I mean, that's where this guy was at. He was a runner. Now, I ask you this question. Which person describes your life as a Christian runner? In this race that is set before us, how is the race going for you? Are you trudging along? Are you in agony, just kind of, I don't know, why am I here and what am I doing? Are you just barely making any progress? Is it just kind of, you know, going through the motions? Or are you enjoying it to the max, just excited about this race that you're in and this life that God has called you to live? Which runner describes you? Now, I would venture to say that there's probably a few of you here today that aren't even in the race. You have not yet given your life to Jesus Christ. You haven't begun this race of faith. You haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you know what? God desires today that would be your day to enter the race. Maybe some of you, though, have had too many setbacks, discouragements, disappointments. You've ran into a pack of dogs too many times and you have quit running. Well, the Lord wants you to get back into the race today. Put your tennis shoes back on and begin running again. Maybe some of you are running, but you're not sure why you are running, what you are running for. You're just trudging along. You've lost your focus. You've lost your purpose. And today the Lord wants to restore to you the joy of your salvation, to give you a focus and a direction that you might run well, that you might run to win. But some of you here, oh, you love to run and you're going for it. But here's the thing, you're running just to run. And the Lord today wants to give you a greater vision of the goal, a greater vision of why you are in this race and the purpose of it and what He wants to accomplish through your life. So this morning, as we look at this text that we just read, I want us to consider four things about the race that is set before us and how the Lord wants us to run. First of all, we need to consider what kind of race it is that we are in. You know, when I ran in school, I loved the sprints. The 100-yard dash, the 50-yard dash, the 220. I mean, that was about as long as it got for me. But I loved where you could really run hard for a short period of time and then take a break. Grab a soda. Sit down. Watch everybody else, you know, do their thing. I could handle that. I enjoyed that. Well, guess what? The Christian life is not a series of short sprints. The Christian life is more of a marathon. It's a long distance run that goes throughout our whole lifetime. It's constant. It's ongoing. There's uphills and downhills. There's mountains to climb. There's valleys to go through. My buddy Joe Bernacki, when he was riding his bike across country a few weeks ago, when he first started the first week, he had a wind at his back and he just loved it. He called and said, this is great. This is easier than all of my training. We're doing 160 miles a day. But then after that, in the next week, he came to a state where there were all these rolling hills. And there was a wind in his face and he was just in agony. He's like, oh, this is so hard. I want to quit. The Christian life is like that. Sometimes it's like the wind is at your back. Everything's just flowing. It's working. And it's like, this is wonderful. I love this. And I'm just charging ahead. But sometimes it's like you're climbing hills and the wind is in your face and it's difficult. We need to understand that it's a marathon. Now, here's the thing. A lot of believers, their Christian life reflects a series of short sprints. They run hard for a week or two or three or a month. And then they stop. It's too tough, and they rest and they take a break. They maybe go back into the old life. And then after a time, they get tired of that, and then they go, you know, back in the race again. And their life is marked by this constant ups and downs, and there's no consistency. That is not the way that God intended us to run. The Christian must understand that this race that we are in is not a series of sprints, but it's more like a marathon. It's ongoing. It's constant. Now, that doesn't mean that we are to pace ourselves, though. But the analogy is meant to communicate the seriousness of the run, that we're in it for the long haul. You see, the distance runner, he runs all year long. He runs in every season, in all kinds of weather, over many different types of terrain. And we are those distance runners. And we're running through every season, wind in our face, wind at our back, it doesn't matter. That's the race that we've been called to. Now, we're also told here that there's a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Who are they? Well, I believe they are the heroes of faith listed there in chapter 11 that we've been looking at the last few Sundays, as well as on Wednesday nights. We'll continue this Wednesday. They are witnesses, not so much though in being onlookers, but they are witnesses in the sense that they are examples. They are witnesses in the sense that their lives testify to us that this race of faith can be run. They have proved by their testimony that this life of faith is the only life to live, that this race of faith is worth running. So first of all, we need to see that the race that we've been called to is a marathon. It's a long distance. It's over the course of our life, day after day and night after night. But there are those who have ran before us. There are those whose lives speak to us that this race can be run. Second thing I want us to consider, though, is why are we running? What is the goal? Is it to get to heaven? No. Going to heaven, your salvation is based upon one thing, and that's your believing in Jesus Christ and receiving Him as your personal Lord and Savior. It's trusting in His finished work upon Calvary for you. That's what gets you into heaven. That's where your salvation starts. This race that we are in is about experiencing the fullness of our Christian walk. It's about experiencing everything that God has for you in this walk, in this race that we are in. Paul summed it up in this way in Philippians chapter 3. Listen while I read for the sake of time. Paul writes this. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these things I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has, Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now, what Paul mentions here, two things that mark the goal for us in this race that we find ourselves in. The first is in the phrase when he says that I might know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know Him in a deeper and a more intimate way, Paul would say. And Paul said, I lay aside everything that I might know Him, that I might gain Christ, that I might grow in my understanding of Him, because Paul realized that there was so much of Jesus to know. Paul viewed the knowledge of Christ like a treasure chest that didn't have any bottom. And he was going to dig and he was going to dig and pull jewel after jewel out of that chest. He was going to go deeper and deeper to discover the wealth of it. That was his heart. That was his passion. So first of all, that goal, the fullness, is to grow in our understanding of Christ. But the second, as he mentions in verse 14, that I press toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what does he mean by that? He's speaking there of heaven. But understand, we are not running in order to get to heaven, but we are running for heaven. That's when the race is over for us. In Bible days, in Bible times, when the Roman races were taking place, they would run, especially the distant races, they would run there out in the desert. And the ending of the race would be there in the Colosseum, the Roman Colosseum, as they would run in. And thousands of people would jam into that Colosseum to cheer on those runners as they were running in. And as they would cross the finish line, they would run there up to the emperor who was sitting there on his throne. And it was the emperor who would then reward them with the prize, the wreath, the crown that they would be given. Well, our emperor, King Jesus, is waiting at the finish line for us. He's waiting there. That's where the prize is. That's where we are going to receive from him that crown. It's there at the finish line that we will hear from our emperor, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And so our purpose in running, why we are running, is to get closer to Jesus and to eventually be rewarded from Jesus that prize that he's going to give us when we get there to heaven. The third thing that I want us to consider is how we are to run. And the writer mentions three things here concerning how we are to run. First of all, or number one, we are told to lay aside the weights and the sin. To lay aside the entanglements. You know, one of the greatest problems that runners face is weight. Several years ago, there was an Olympic runner who had won a gold medal in the 100 meters. And he came to this country in an invitational race. He was considered the world's fastest human being, but when he ran the preliminary heat, he didn't even qualify. In an interview afterwards, he explained the reason. He said it was simple, that he was overweight, that he had trained too little, and he had eaten too much. Now, here's what's interesting. He hadn't gained a great amount of weight, but it was enough to keep him from winning. It was enough to keep him from qualifying. Now, what about you? Have you put on some weight, spiritually speaking, that has hindered you from running like you used to be able to run? Have you put on some pounds, spiritually speaking, that has hindered you or impeded your progress in enabling you to run the way that you did when you were younger in your relationship with the Lord, when you were first beginning maybe in your walk with the Lord? Weights are things that can hold us down, that we can add to our lives, that can hold us down and impede the progress, that can burden down our hearts. They're things that might not necessarily be sin. Notice the distinction. Lay aside the weights and the sin. But weights can be those gray areas. They can be things that aren't necessarily wrong, but they're wrong for us. They're things that the Lord has said to us, this needs to be out of your life. And they can become sin if they hinder us from running in the way that God desires that we would run. What are some of those weights? Well, some examples real quickly. There's the weight of materialism. When you begin to try to live above your means, you begin to try to live at a level that God hasn't provided for you, and all of a sudden, all the stuff and all the bills, it begins to weigh you down. It begins to put this pressure on you that sucks the very life out of you. There's the weight of conformity. Where you begin to add back into your life things that God has clearly said, these things need to go. These things need to not be a part of your life, but you begin to conform once again to that old standard and some of those old habits. It could be the weights of anger and bitterness, old hurts that you're still holding on to that just weigh you down and burden you down. It could be other people in your life. People who are just a problem, they're a weight, a friendship that doesn't belong. Listen, we cannot win if we are weighted. We cannot win if we are weighted down. Unloaded, we shall find the race taxing all of our powers. But weighted, we shall be doomed to failure. And so the writer would say, first of all, lay aside the weights. Lay aside those things. You know, a runner who's running in a race, when he comes, he takes off the sweats, he undoes the ankle weights, and he has on, you know, the simplest of clothing, the little shorts, the little lightweight, you know, tank top, and the lightest of shoes, so that there's no excess baggage. That's how Jesus wants us to run. No excess baggage. But he also says that we are to lay aside not just the weights, but also the sin. And notice the phrase, the sin. It's specific. The sin. It's speaking of specific things in our life that we know don't belong. Secret sins. Things that maybe we think no one else knows, no one else sees, but Jesus sees and he knows. He knows that the devil will seek to use those very things to ensnare you. To entangle you once again, to rip you off of all of your strength so that you lose your joy. He wants you to be burdened down and defeated. Lay aside the weight and the sin. You've heard me say this before, but it's true. The mathematics of sin is always the same. It will add to your sorrows, it will subtract your joy, it will multiply your problems, and it will divide your hearts. Is there a secret sin in your life this morning that the Lord right now is saying to you, if you're going to run to win, you need to lay this aside? That's the solution. You repent. You turn from that sin. You turn to the Lord. One commentator was right when he said, we cannot win heaven and wear sin. So we're to lay aside the weights and the sin. Secondly, we are to run with endurance. Now, the word endurance speaks of a steady determination to keep going. It means continuing on, even when everything in you wants to slow down or to give up. And in this Christian life, in this race that we are in, where there are mountains to climb and valleys to go through and desert seasons, sometimes those deserts can seem so long that everything in us just feels like, you know, the strength in our legs is gone. It's like, I just can't go any further. The Christian, the Lord says, we are to run with endurance. We are to press on. We are to keep going. Many of the Hebrew Christians to whom this letter was written, they had started well. I mean, they had seen signs and wonders, and they were thrilled with their new lives in the Lord. They were excited, but then that newness began to wear off, and the problems began to develop, and persecution began to set in, and they began to lose their enthusiasm. They began to lose their confidence, and they began to backslide. Now, unfortunately, we see this happen time and time again. Where people start well, but then they stop. There's a lack of endurance in the Christian church today, especially here in America. We're soft. And because of that, we see people who should be running and they have quit. They have stopped along the way and they've quit in their walks. They've quit in their marriages. They've quit in ministry. So I'm not going to go to that church anymore. I got my feelings hurt. And they quit, and it's sad. We are called to run with endurance, to press on, to persevere. Notice he says to them in verse 4 that they have not resisted to bloodshed. He's saying, look, it hasn't got that bad. Hang in there. And the Lord wants us to run in that way. But that can be tough at times. How do we do it? The answer is found in the next thing that he tells us of how we're to run. That we are to run looking unto Jesus. We're to run with our eyes on the goal. Looking unto our Lord. Now, you know, kids are funny to watch run because some of them are preoccupied with themselves. I mean, they're looking at their shorts. They're looking at their shoes. They're looking at their form. And consequently, they don't run very fast. Others are preoccupied with how everyone else is running. They're looking all over at everyone else, who's in front of them, who's behind them. And then there are those who are preoccupied with who's in the stands. Is mom and dad watching? Is Uncle Joe there with his video camera? And they're, you know, running and they're looking, you know, at the stance. And they run crooked. I mean, that's the path and the way in which they run. Well, the children of God oftentimes can run in a similar fashion. There are those who are preoccupied with themselves. Always wondering, am I running okay? Are my feet landing in the right place? They're self-consumed, wondering how they're doing, always concerned with their own needs all the time, and consequently, they make very little progress. Then there are those who are preoccupied with how everyone else is running. I can't believe so-and-so. Did you see what they did? Always focused on everyone else, wondering where they're at and how they're running and why is it so easy for them and why is it so difficult for me? Remember Peter? In John 21, Jesus told him he was going to die and how he was going to die. And he looked at John and said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, if I will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Peter, you worry about the race that I've called you to run. And let John run his race. And then there are those who are preoccupied with those who are in the stands, those who are watching them. And when it's a Christian brother or sister, oh, they perform real well. When it's an unbeliever, they tone it down a bit. And they're like chameleons. They just try to kind of fit in with whoever is watching them. And the thing that they fail to understand is that Jesus is always watching. His eyes are always on us. Now, here's what's interesting. This Greek word for looking in our text, it has a much fuller meaning than we find in the English language. It means this. It has a preposition in it which turns the look away from everything else. So I'm going to run looking to Jesus because I've turned my look away from everything else so that I'm not looking at myself. I'm not looking at the other runners. I'm not looking to see who's in the stands. I'm not looking at the weights and the sins that I've laid aside. I'm not even looking at the difficulty of the course. I'm not looking at those things. We are called to look off everything that we have ever relied upon in days gone by and to look at none but Jesus. Charles Spurgeon had some good words to say concerning this. Listen while I read. It says, he said this, spiritual runners, make a covenant with your eyes that you will look only to him who is the great end of all of your running. Looking unto Jesus means a life and light and guidance and encouragement and joy. Never cease to look on him who ever looks on you. Don't stop looking at him because he's always looking at you. His eyes are always on you. So we are to run looking unto Jesus. Now to help us, the writer tells us three ways that we are to keep our focus on Jesus. Three areas in which we are to see him. We are to see him, first of all, as the author of our faith. We are to see him, secondly, as the finisher of our faith. And we are to see him, thirdly, as the pattern of our faith. Let's look at these very briefly and then we'll be done. First of all, we are to look to Jesus as the author of our faith. It's Jesus, it's him where our faith starts. It begins with him. We're told in our text, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That's where our faith begins. His love for you was so great that when he saw you in your sin, doomed to hell because your sin separated you from God, he decided to do something about it. And he came and he gave his life. He came and he picked up that cross. And he endured going to the cross so that you and I could be saved. So that you and I could have salvation. So that you and I could enter in to the fullness of God and have a relationship with God, no longer being separated from him. And so the race begins when we see Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You cannot begin this race heavenward until you realize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Until you realize that your sin has separated you from God. That your sin has left you doomed to hell. And God saw you in that condition, and His love was so great for you. And it didn't matter how much you sinned or how bad you failed, that His heart went out and He said, I'm going to send my Son to die on that cross. And Jesus came and He picked up that cross and He went to that hill. He carried it up and He allowed Him to nail His very body to that cross, where He took upon Himself the sin of the whole world, your sin, my sin, and the sin of every person that has ever been born, past, present, and future. He took it upon Himself because of His love for us. And that's where we start the race. He's the author. He began it on that day when He died for our sins, when He died in our place. And if anyone is here today and you're at that place where you're ready to start that race heavenward, understand that there's nothing that you can do to earn it. There's nothing that you can do to get in, but it simply comes. It's a gift from God obtained through faith as you look to Jesus, the author of our faith. But He's also the finisher of our faith. Just as Jesus is at the commencement of the course, starting the runners, so He is at the end of the course. He's the rewarder of those who endure to the end. And when we cross the finish line, it's Jesus who will be there as the finisher of our faith to hand to us that crown, that reward that we have received for our running. And one glimpse of the glorified King there upon His throne can cause the feebleness of our knees and our legs to be strengthened so that we can run still further. Again, Spurgeon was insightful when he said this: the sight of the crown removes all the weight from our crosses. The race ceases to be severe when we see Jesus enthroned. I see Him today at the end of the course, holding out the wreath to me and saying, "He that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." He's the author of our faith, He's the finisher of our faith, and He also is the pattern by which we run. He's the model runner. Jesus is both our example and our inspiration. As our example, we see His motivation in running this race in the phrase where it says, "Who for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross." What was that joy? Jesus lived to please His heavenly Father. He lived to give glory to His Father in heaven. That was His joy. That was His motivation. And when Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished," it wasn't a cry of defeat. It wasn't a cry of frustration. It wasn't a cry of, "I quit." But it was a cry of victory. He had finished the course. He had won the race. He did the very thing that He came and that He was called to do. You know, when an artist dies in the middle of his painting, it's undone. When a composer dies in the middle of writing an orchestra, it's unfinished. But when Jesus died, it was the culmination, it was the finishing of the race for Him. He accomplished the very thing that God had called Him, His Father had called Him to do, and His joy was pleasing His heavenly Father, and His joy also was the thought of you and me in heaven with Him. That was His motivation, and that needs to be our motivation as well. Following His example, that we would run to please our heavenly Father, to glorify our Father who is in heaven and influence souls for heaven. That's our calling. That needs to be our motivation in running. You know, that guy that I saw running who was the runner, I mean, it was kind of, he stirred my heart for a few seconds. That bounce, I was like, boy, I wish I could run like that. And then I drove down, saw McDonald's, and thought, I think I'll have a quarter pounder. But for a few minutes, it was like, I wish I could run like that. That's the effect that our lives are to be. A contagious type of thing. When other people look at us and they see us running, they see the life that we're living, they see that bounce in our step, they see us persevering and enduring up the hills and through the valleys, that they say, I want to run like that guy. I want to run like that girl. What's their secret? And we influence souls for heaven. Jesus is our example, but He's also our inspiration. And as our inspiration, He endured the cross, despising the shame. And we're told here in verse 3, for consider him, look at him, gaze upon him is what that word means, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. As we look at Jesus, he's our inspiration because he endured. And that word endure is hupomone in the Greek. And it means not just to passively make it through, but to conquer. And that's what Jesus did there on the cross. He conquered for you and for me. And his very life in carrying that cross is an inspiration for us. His dying on that cross is an inspiration to you and me that we can carry the crosses that God has called us to bear. That he hung in there for us so that we can hang in there now for him. He didn't just die, but he rose and he lives. And he lives to inspire us with power from on high to live and to walk as he would desire us to. He ran the course and he won so that every single one of us can run the course and win. And so I ask you this morning again, how's the race going for you? How are you running? Maybe you're here today and you realize you're not even in the race. You haven't even begun because you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ. The Lord is calling you today to get into the race, to put on your shoes, and begin that race toward heaven. Maybe though you are in the race or you started to run at some point, but you have given up. I want to encourage you today to recognize what Jesus did for you and what he is still doing and to get back in the race and allow him to help you. Maybe though you've been trudging along in agony, I want to encourage you to remember why you began. Why you began? What was the motive? It was to know him. It was to run with heaven in mind. It was to run with heaven in view. Get back to that eternal perspective. Lay aside the weights today and the sin that has entangled you and weighted you down to make this race that is meant to be a blessing. It's become a burden because of all the excess baggage. But maybe you're in it today and you're running. And you're going for it and you're just enjoying it. I want to encourage you, don't just run to run. But run to please your Heavenly Father and allow your life to have a contagious influence on those that are around you. Who haven't begun or who are just trudging along. Let us run, the writer says. The race that is set before us. May we do the same. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to be both our example and our inspiration, to be the author of our faith in dying on the cross for our sins, and dying in our stead and in our place. And Lord, we want to run with him in view. There at the finish line, on the throne, waiting to give to us that crown of life, that crown of victory. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that your Son didn't just die, but he rose and he lives. And his very life is imparted and available to us to strengthen our feeble knees, that we might run this race of faith to win. Lord, I pray for those here today who have not yet begun the race, who haven't yet professed that they are a sinner, that they haven't even begun. They haven't placed their faith in the one who came and died for them because you love them so much. Lord, I pray today, right now, that they would take that step and enter the race of faith. For those, Lord, who have begun at one point in time, but they quit along the way. And now their life has lost that sense of joy and purpose. Lord, I pray today that their hearts would be encouraged to realize that you want to help them, that you are there for them, that you desire so much today that they would lay aside the weight, that they would lay aside the sin, and that they would begin running again.